Part 1, Chapter 21, England during the 17th and 18th centuries. Question 1. Write a note on development of the constitutional conflict between the Parliament and the early rulers of the Stuart period. Answer. In the beginning of the 17th century, the Stuart dynasty was established in England. James I was the first king of the Stuart dynasty. He succeeded to the throne after the death of Queen Elizabeth in 1603. She did not marry. Hence, the ruler of Scotland, James VII, was enthroned by the name of James I on the throne of England also. He was 30 years of age at the time of accession to the throne of England and ruled from 1603 to 1625. He was a staunch supporter of the theory of divine rights of kings, which was completely against the spirit of the Parliament of England. Ramsay Muir has written about it. Divine right monarchy was quite inconsistent with the ideas of the members of the Parliament and was, according to the old feudal order, from which the rulers and the Parliament both drew their precedents. Now, theory of divine right. Being a staunch supporter of the theory of divine right, he was of the opinion that kings derive their power, prestige and authority direct from God and not from any earthly human being. God gives him birth only to rule over human beings. Disobedience to king's commands was as sinful as interrogating the authority of God himself. James once said, "Kings are not only God's lieutenants on earth, but even by God himself they are called gods." Robert has also observed in this connection, like God himself, kings have ceded part of their original and parental power to human and law. But as it is atheism and blasphemy to dispute what God can do, so it is seditious in a subject to dispute what a king may do in the light of his power. In fact, James I was not the founder of this theory of divine right in England. The theory was widely accepted in Europe during the 13th and 14th centuries. The Tudor monarchs also believed in this theory. James I of Stuart dynasty widely propagated this theory and created problems for the English monarchy. James I considered himself beyond the limits of law and did not regard it essential to follow the laws of the country. James I wrote a book entitled True Law of the Free Monarchies. In this book, he mentioned that an efficient monarch rules according to necessity. He cannot be forced to do anything. Even if the king was not reigning properly, the people had no right to rebel against him. People should bear the tortures inflicted by the king peacefully, considering it to be the sin of their ancestors. According to James' theory of divine right, first, kings are the breathing images of God upon earth. Second, kings are not only God's lieutenants upon earth, nor are they seated on God's throne, but even by himself they are called gods. Three, that no human power could deprive a legitimate prince of his rights. Four, king is not responsible to any worldly power or institutions. He is responsible to God only. Now, results of the theory of divine right. The theory of divine right, as accepted by the Stuart kings, produced the following significant results. First, the kings became absolute monarchs and ruled despotically, which created chaos and dissatisfaction throughout the country. Second, the power and prestige of the parliament began to decline gradually, and Stuart kings established their sway over it. Now, three, a tug of war between the kings and the parliament started due to the theory of divine right. Four, the king is the representative of God on earth. Thus, the theory of divine right propagated by James I did not good to the country. Rather, it brought untold miseries to the people. Now, James I and his parliament. With the enthronement of James I, the Stuart dynasty was formed in England. The reign of James I is considered to be an important landmark in the history of England. The Stuarts reigned in England for about 111 years, and their period marked the beginning of a historical issue. The conflict between the king and the parliament, though the signs of this struggle began to be discerned in the reign of Elizabeth, it took a serious turn in the reign of James I. An eminent historian, Southgate, also observed, "The first faint traces of the struggle between crown and parliament are to be found in the reign of Queen Elizabeth, but they were no more than faint traces, and are sometimes altogether overlooked. The time was not yet ripe for the contest. The Queen practiced rigid economy and rarely had to ask Parliament for money. And when Parliament met, it had little desire to oppose the Queen. With the accession of James I, a more definite feeling of opposition to the crown is to be noticed. His parliament began to aim at sharing in the work of government. In fact, after the accession of James I, a cold war began, and both the king and the parliament tried to overpower each other. A prominent historian has also remarked, "The accession of a foreign race of kings with narrower sympathies, less knowledge of English way, and less broad intelligence than the Tudors. Yet, even if rulers as strong as Elizabeth had been given to England, the contest would have been inevitable." Now, the factors responsible for the struggle between the king and his parliament. The following factors are responsible for the outbreak of the conflict between the king and his parliament. Changed conditions. The civil war came to an end, and law and order was established in England during the regime of the Tudor monarchs. Hence, they had all the cooperation and support of the people of their country. They got passed all the bills with the consent of the parliament. Even the great work of restoration was done with the support of the parliament. Though the relations between the kings and the parliament were strained later on, Elizabeth controlled the situation with skill. Accession of James I proved disastrous when he failed to exercise his control over the parliament, and a conflict began between the two due to the policies of James I. The Renaissance, the Reformation, and the rise of middle class added fuel to the fire. It infused a spirit of rationalism among people and made the conflict inevitable. Now, character of James I. The character of James I was also responsible for the outbreak of this conflict. Though James I was able, educated, scholarly, benevolent, and peace-loving, the circumstances went against him when he ascended the throne of England. He was proud of his knowledge, vain and obstinate. He always talked about his prerogatives and special powers, which irritated the people of England. In fact, his character went a long way in straining the relations between the two parties, and he was responsible to a great extent for giving rise to a struggle between the monarchs and the parliament due to his timid nature. Warner has remarked over his character, "He was timid and lacking in decision, as he showed in his foreign policy. He might have large ideas, but they were vague and formless." Therefore, the scholars have aptly remarked that he was the wisest fool in Christendom. The Stuart King James I asserted his belief in the theory of divine right. He had already mentioned his view in his book, True Law of the Free Monarchies, about the theory of divine right. He believed that kings are the representatives of God on earth, and hence they are not responsible to any human being or institution, but they are responsible to God only. After his accession, he widely propagated this theory, which was not acceptable to the English Parliament. The Parliament regarded this theory as a foolish mysticism of the monarch. Thus, a tug of war started between the King and the Parliament to supersede each other. Now, religious policy of James I. Religious policy of King James I was also responsible for the outbreak of the struggle between the king and the parliament. There were three chief religious sects, such as Catholics, Anglicans and Puritans, in England at the time of accession of James I. The number of Puritans was quite large in the parliament, but James I was against them. Catholics, who were expecting king's favor, soon felt annoyed with him when they were not granted facilities according to their expectations. Thus, Catholic and Puritan members began to oppose the king in the parliament due to their religious differences. Now, privileges of the parliament. Some prerogatives were awarded to the Parliament of England long before the accession of Tudors or Stuarts. Out of them, to avoid the dispute regarding election and to deliver a speech was very famous. Moreover, the members of the Parliament could not be imprisoned. James I wanted to establish despotism, and it could be possible only by crushing the privileges of the Parliament. He was of the opinion that these prerogatives were given to the Parliament by the King, and he had the right to take them back. The Parliament highly resented it. Now, foreign policy of James I. James had a desire to establish cordial relations with Spain by marrying his son Charles with the Spanish princess. The English Parliament was against this policy when he failed to please Spain by his efforts, and his marriage proposal was rejected by Spain. He married his son to the French princess and declared a war against Spain, but he could not achieve victory in this war. The Parliament opposed this action of James I vehemently. Now, economic reasons. James I was a spendthrift, and he had emptied the royal treasury. The Parliament granted money to him on the condition that he should carry out reforms in the administration. Hence, he displaced the parliament and began to impose taxes himself. The parliament opposed it. Referring to the prerogatives of the Tudors, he continued to impose taxes. Therefore, the conflict between the two was inevitable. Thus, a conflict started between the king and the parliament, and his son, Charles I, had to bear its disastrous consequences. The parliament had already declared that now the time had come to introduce reforms, those spheres which had been overlooked in the reign of Elizabeth. Werner Martin Muir aptly remarked in this connection, "The time had come, as the House of Commons declared in the very first year of James' reign, to redress, restore, and rectify those actions which in the reign of Elizabeth they had passed over." No doubt, James I had to face some problems regarding the Parliament, but he did not make any effort to improve the situation. Rather, he made it worse by his own faults. In case he had tackled the situation with skill, the conflict between the two would not have been so grave, nor its consequences so widespread. Now, James I and his four parliaments. During his 22 years of reign, James I called four sessions of the parliament, but he could not go hand in glove with any of them. And besides the fourth one, he dissolved all the three. Now, first parliament, 1604 to 1611. James I summoned the first parliament in 1604. It transacted business for 7 years. The conflict started in 1607 and James I was opposed by the first parliament in the following matters. First, the parliament compelled the king to grant concessions to the Puritans against his will, whereas the king had hatred towards Puritans due to their extremist policy. Now, second, James I wanted to establish a commercial union between England and Scotland, but it was rejected outright by the parliament. Now, three, the parliament opposed the king, for he referred the election dispute of Godwin to the court of king, while the parliament demanded that it should be referred to the parliament, as the king had no right to decide such dispute. The parliament drew up a form of apology in 1604 and declared, "We avow that our liberties and privileges are our bright right, and inheritance no less than our lands and goods. It is the Parliament which is the highest court of justice. Our house is duly recognized as a court of record, and we avow that there is no other assembly which enters into competition with the Parliament." James I, who considered himself a representative of God on earth, took this challenge very seriously and declared, "Not to meddle with the main points of government, that is my craft. To meddle with that were to lessen me. I am an old king. I must not be taught my office. House of Commons derived all matters from him." The conflict deepened all the more when the parliament tried to interfere in the right of commons to control taxation. James I imposed act of prerogative to meet the demands, but John Pepys, a merchant, refused to pay the extra duty, and the issue was referred to the court of exchequer. The case was decided in King's favor. However, the House of Commons opposed the right of imposing extra duty, and the King dissolved the Parliament in 1611. Now, Second Parliament, 1614. After an interval of 3 years, the Second Parliament was called in 1614, to meet the financial necessities. James I thought that the Second Parliament would consider his economic needs, but all his hopes ended in smoke, and the Second Parliament was also dismissed for non-cooperation. Second Parliament was also called Adult Parliament because it refused to grant money and did not pass any law. The King continued to meet his financial needs by imposing forced loans and fines. Now, Third Parliament, 1621. James had to call the Third Parliament in 1621 due to foreign problems and financial necessities. It performed some significant acts as under. First, it revived the weapon of impeachment against the minister of the king and impeached Francis Bacon. Second, peaceful foreign policy of James I was criticized and condemned by the Parliament, and it refused to make any grant to the king. The Third Parliament also failed to produce any result. Hence, the king dismissed it. Now, Fourth Parliament, 1624. James I summoned his Fourth Parliament in 1624. It did not indulge in a struggle with the king because James I had declared war against Spain according to the advice of the Fourth Parliament. The following significant acts were done by this Parliament. First, the Parliament impeached Ganfield, Earl of Middlesex, and Lord Treasurer for not making proper use of money. Second, it granted a large sum of money to the King with a condition that it should be spent for the purpose for which it was raised. Thus, during the reign of James I, from 1603 to 1625, a conflict between the king and the parliament continued. However, the House of Commons succeeded in getting some rights sanctioned to it. To impeach the ministers of the king, to oppose the imposition of taxation without its approval, and to save its own rights were its significant achievements. James I did not like to call the sessions of the Parliament, but he had to summon its sessions for want of money. He used to say, "I am surprised that my ancestors should ever have permitted such an institution to have come into existence. I am a stranger and found it here when I arrived, so that I am obliged to put up with what I can get rid of." James I passed away in 1625, and with his death, the Fourth Parliament was also dissolved. Now, constitutional development of England during the reign of Charles I. Charles I became the ruler of England in 1625. After the death of James I, he ruled from 1625 to 1649. The constitutional development of the period of Charles I can be divided into three phases, that are 1626 to 1629. During this period, Charles I ran the administration of the country with the help of Parliament, and his despotic regime continued from 1629 to 1640, owing to which the civil war broke out in England. Now war against Spain. In 1625, when Charles I succeeded to the throne, war against Spain was going on. He offered the command of this battle to the Duke of Buckingham, but he was defeated due to various reasons. It hurt his prestige badly. Now, treaty with France. Although the people of England considered France to be their enemy, Charles I, in spite of the opposition of the Parliament, concluded a treaty with France on the advice of his advisor, the Duke of Buckingham. According to it, Charles married Maria Henrietta, the sister of the Emperor of France. Maria Henrietta was the follower of Roman Catholic religion, whereas the people of England were mostly Protestants. Hence, the people of England did not like her. Secondly, Charles I helped France in the suppression of Protestants. As a result of it, the annoyed people assassinated the Duke of Buckingham. Now, Charles I conflict with the Parliament. The British Parliament did not authorize Charles I to realize the tonnage and poundage. It was sanctioned only for 1 year. The Parliament also wanted that the King should not grant any concession to the Catholics under the undue influence of the Queen. At that time, 30 years' war was going on in Europe. England was already busy in war against Spain and later was involved against France also. Charles I was greatly short of money and the Parliament was not granting him money according to his desire. Hence, he started imposing taxes according to his own wish. In 1623, the Parliament put forth a petition of rights before the King in order to check the rising absolutism of Charles I. Besides, there were 4 more provisions of this petition of rights. A. No tax should be realized from the people without the approval of the Parliament. B. Soldiers should not be allowed to stay in the house of a married person. C. No man should be imprisoned without trial. D. Military laws should not be imposed in the country during peacetime. First of all, Charles I endeavored to avoid the Parliament, but later on accepted this petition of rights and Parliament sanctioned the amount required by him. Now, dissolution of the First Parliament. In 1629, during the 4th session of the Parliament, Charles I was accused by the Parliament that he was not working according to the terms of the Petition of Rights of 1628. Hence, Charles I dissolved the Parliament and started ruling like a despot. 2 other parliaments also had the same fate. Now, absolute regime of Charles I. From 1629 to 1640, Charles I ruled as a despot. He realized the ship money from the merchants. This tax was imposed by Charles I. without the approval of the Parliament, but the court declared it legal. Now, short and long parliaments. In 1640, the session of the Parliament was invited once more for the approval of the new taxes, but there could be no uniformity between the King and the Parliament. Hence, Charles I dissolved it. As this parliament lasted for 3 weeks only, it is popularly known as Short Parliament. Charles I invited yet another parliament in November 1640, which is known as the Long Parliament in the British history because it continued up to 1642. It was called to face the Second Bishop War against Scotland. This parliament checked some of the absolute powers of the king, and Triennial Act was passed by it. Arbitrary courts, Star Chamber, Court of High Commission were abolished. Ship money was declared illegal, and the king was not permitted to realize tonnage and poundage tax without the approval of the parliament. It was also decided that the king would not dissolve the parliament without its permission. According to the Bill of Attainder, the chief advisor of Charles I was put to death in 1641. After this, Pym, P-Y-M, introduced the Grand Remonstrance in the Parliament in 1641. According to it, the king would appoint only those ministers which were approved by the Parliament. The Parliament was divided into two groups on this issue, and civil war seemed to be in the offing. Now, importance of Long Parliament. The achievements of the Long Parliament had brought the Constitution of England close to the modern Constitution. It held the ministers responsible to the Parliament, and economic responsibility was entrusted to the House of Commons. Ramsay Muir observes, "But it was far more than a mere re-establishment of precedents. It was a whole constitution, the first clear definition of a limited parliamentary monarchy in history." Now, points to remember. The Stuart dynasty was established in England in the 17th century. James I was the first king of the Stuart dynasty. He ruled from 1603 to 1625. He was a staunch supporter of the theory of divine rights of kings, which was completely against the spirit of the Parliament of England. Now, the theory of divine rights. He propagated the theory of divine right and declared himself a representative of God on earth. Now, results of the theory of divine rights. It made the position of the king strong, but the people were against this theory. It also resulted in a conflict between the king and the parliament for supremacy. Now, James I and his parliament. James I failed to maintain cordial relations with the parliament. Now, first factors which contributed to this struggle. First, changed conditions. Second, characters of James I. Three, the divine right theory. Fourth, religious policy of James I. Fifth, privileges of the parliament. Sixth, foreign policy of James I. Seventh, economic reasons. Now, James I and his four parliaments. First parliament 1604, second parliament 1614, third parliament 1621, and fourth parliament 1624. Now, constitutional development of England during the reign of Charles I. Charles I ruled in England from 1625 to 1649. As a result of his despotic regime, civil war broke out in England. Now, war against Spain. The Duke of Buckingham, the commander of the forces of Charles I, was defeated against Spain. treaty with France. Charles I concluded a treaty with France against the wishes of the Parliament, and he married Maria Henrietta, the sister of the Emperor of France, who was the follower of Roman Catholic religion. It annoyed the Protestants of England. Now, Charles I's conflict with the Parliament. On the issue of new taxes, the relations between Charles I and his Parliament became quite uncordial. But Charles I was badly in need of money and pressurized. As a result, the Petition of Rights was put forth, which was first rejected by the King, but later it was accepted. Now, dissolution of the First Parliament. The First Parliament was dissolved by the King as it did not act according to the will of the King. Two other parliaments were also dissolved later on by the King in order to achieve his goal. Now, absolute regime of Charles I. From 1629 to 1640, Charles I ruled as a despot. He realized the ship money, which was not sanctioned by the Parliament but legalized by the court. Short and long parliaments. As there could be no uniformity between the Parliament and the King, it was dissolved. Charles I had to pocket an insult against Scotland. He invited the Long Parliament to meet his demands, but instead of doing any good to the King, it strengthened its own position. It passed several acts to strengthen its position and to weaken the position of the King in the country. Pym introduced the Grand Remonstrance in the Parliament and tried to create religious harmony, but failed. Now, importance of Long Parliament. It brought the Constitution of England close to the modern Constitution. The ministers were held responsible to the Parliament. Economic responsibility was entrusted to the House of Commons.